morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad I could be with you this morning. Nate informed me that it's a kids' Sunday, and he's like, "Hey, is it okay if the kids are in on the lesson?" I'm like, "Sure. I mean, what am I gonna say? No? You know, like, yeah, no, they can't be here. You know, I'm gonna talk. You know." So yeah, kids, I hope you can follow along with me today. I have handouts. I asked Nate, how many people do we have here? And he gave me, like, I think he said 50, and I'm like, perfect, okay? The company where I work was happy and obliged to let me use the printer and print enough copies for everybody. So I'm very thankful for that. So we're gonna be in John chapter 13 today. John chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage that, you know, we've all read a couple times, maybe many, many times. We're going to be looking at John chapter 13. We're going to be looking at the scripture where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. That is what we're going to be looking at today. So before we get into this passage, I want to talk about a very interesting character that we find in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And just as an introduction, Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30, we learn about a man named Epaphroditus. And this has to relate to our passage, John 13. But Epaphroditus is a very interesting guy. I don't know if you've ever really spent any time studying him, but he's very interesting because he's a servant. Epaphroditus is a servant to Paul. And in the text, we learn that Epaphroditus, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, he was very sick. Okay? And he was very sick, but he was worried about the Philippians because he knew that they were worried about him. Okay? So it's very interesting that here's a guy, he's a servant, and you know, he knew that the Philippians were worried about him, and so he was worried about that. And Paul goes on to tell us that the sickness Epaphroditus suffered came because he was a servant. And verse 30 of that passage, Paul says, "Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life or risking his life, to supply and complete what was lacking in your service toward me." The phrase, "not regarding his life," or "risking his life," depending on what version of the Bible you're using. That's a very interesting phrase. It's actually a gambling term, believe it or not. It means to recklessly expose one's life to danger. In gambling terminology, it means to risk everything for one roll of the dice. Epaphroditus willingly placed his life on the line to serve Paul. He gambled everything for Jesus Christ, so that the man of God, Paul, who he was serving, would be able to serve the Philippian church. Interesting that he'd be willing to do that. Now, let's fast forward from Book of Philippians to the year 250 AD. Okay. 250 AD, there was a group of Christians that actually went around Carthage, the city of Carthage. They called themselves the Gamblers. And here's why. Okay? They named themselves after Epaphroditus. And the reason is that they put their lives on the line while the city of Carthage was being pummeled by a terrible disease, a plague. And people were dying left and right, and bodies were everywhere. But yet, this group of Christians that were there in Carthage, called the Gamblers, would put their lives on the line to take care of these bodies and take them and bury the bodies so they could help keep people healthy, get rid, you know, have the bodies put away to hopefully bring an end to this terrible plague. They had the same spirit Epaphroditus had, this willing spirit to serve. Serve to the point of putting their life on the line. Where do people like Epaphroditus and the gamblers get this desire to serve others. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not a natural desire to put one's life on the line. I believe they got this spirit of servitude from the selfless service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're going to see here in our scripture reading today. In John chapter 13, we see the selfless Savior in action. This is on the eve of his death in John chapter 13. On the eve of his death, Jesus assumes a place of a slave and serves his disciples. While they're eating the Passover, Jesus gets up from the table and dons a towel and wraps himself in this towel. He pours a basin of water and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus did this, he takes the place of a slave before his men. He took the place, in fact, of the lowest form of slave. These were people that were called the people of the towel. This is the lowest form of slave. They're called this because it was their job to wash the feet of those who were superior to them. Jesus did this to call his disciples to become people of the towel, as well as every person who follows him. We are called to be servants much like this. He wants us, you and me, us believers, to become people of the towel. If we're to achieve this goal in our lives, we must develop a heart to serve like Jesus. And we can become a people of the towel by three lessons. And that is what I want to look at after that nice long introduction. So I have handouts for everybody, even the children. I did some counting. I should have enough for each side. So everybody should be able to take one. And this is the school teacher in me coming out. Okay, former school teacher. And you know, I have a handout, I have blanks for you to fill out, and now here's the really difficult thing. Me to stay focused and to actually tell and hit those blanks. Yep, he handed them out perfect. Me to hit those blanks. So as we're handing those out, because I'm gonna be hot and heavy as I get into these. And like I said, I really hope to stay focused. And I know kickoff's at noon. Okay, I don't know if anybody knows about that. David is giving me a huge thumbs up right now. Okay, kickoff's at noon. Some of us are wearing Packer socks. Not me, I don't have Packer socks on, but David does. So obviously he's pretty in tune to what's going on at noon today. So I will try to finish us by noon. I can guarantee that there will not be a two-part to this because I will not be here next week, okay? So I will try to finish on time. But as we're passing that out, I think we're pretty close. I just want to show you something real quick and cool. So kids, okay, I'm going to try and talk to you real quick here. I'm a old history teacher, okay? I love history. The Bible is a history book. I hope you guys understand. Okay. And so what we're talking about today, this is real stuff. This is real people. When I talk about Epaphroditus, real guy that lived. Talking about the Lord Jesus, we're talking about his disciples. These are real people. Okay. Because I'm an old history teacher, a while back in May, I was somewhere, and there was this place where I could purchase this leaf here. This is a piece of paper, and I'm going to guarantee this piece of paper is older than everybody in this room, okay? This piece of paper comes, it's a leaf from a Bible from 1743, okay? This piece of paper, this is a page from the first Bible that was printed in a European language here in America, 1743. And I had to get this, because this just solidifies to me how amazing God's word is. This is something, it's over 300 years old. And God's word is the same here as is what we're reading today. Now, okay, this is in German, okay? So it's not, I don't think anybody has a German Bible today. Nobody, right, okay, most of us are speaking English. But, okay, so I think it's so cool that God's word doesn't change.
You know, we're reading about Jesus and his disciples. And this is truth. This has happened. These are historical events. Amen. So I had to show this because I thought this was so cool. Something that's, well, as an old history teacher, I'm like, I just need to have something cool like that. All right. So we're in John chapter 13. Like I said, we're talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we're going to look at three lessons. Three lessons that we're going to learn today. Everybody has their sheet. Kids, I have blanks in there. All right, let's make sure Sean actually fills in those blanks for you. Here we go. So the first lesson we need to learn is we must learn from his labor. This is the first lesson, the first topic we're going to cover. So when Jesus got up from supper, okay, he wrapped that towel around his body and he washes the feet of his disciples. He's performing a very selfless service for his men. And this is what's going to teach us. This is one of the lessons that's going to teach us about becoming a people of the towel. So we have several facts I want to cover real quickly here. The first one, number one, washing feet was for slaves. That's number one. Washing feet was for slaves. It's the first thing we're going to learn here. Even Jewish servants could not be forced to wash their master's feet. It was a task reserved for the lowest of Gentile slaves. Sometimes, rarely, a child would wash a parent's feet, a wife would wash the feet of her husband, or a friend would wash a friend's feet as a display of extreme affection and love. Okay? So Jesus here, in this same instance, is taking the place of a slave before his disciples. He willingly humbles himself to meet a need in the lives of his men. So our first lesson is, when we're learning from his labor, is that washing the feet was for slaves. Number two, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples without being asked. He was not asked to do this. This is number two. In fact, they were probably shocked when Jesus began to wash their feet. It was a breach of hospitality to fail to wash a guest's feet. The disciples should have been falling over one another to wash his feet. But it never entered their minds to serve him. Apparently, they must have been waiting for someone else to do this. He did this without being asked. Third thing, Jesus served with no expectation of reward. Reward. Here's the real shocking thing. No one even said thank you. No one even said thank you. He did this just because he wanted to. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, why he did it a little bit later. But he did this without reward, expecting a reward. The fourth thing, Jesus served the others with a willing heart. A willing heart. No one had to twist his arm. He voluntarily took the place of a slave and served his men. He did it with a willing heart. That's the fourth thing. The fifth one, Jesus served those who did not deserve to be served. He served those who did not deserve to be served. That's the fifth point. Think about this. He washed the feet of Simon Peter before the night would end. Those feet of Simon Peter would stand at a Roman fire, and Peter would deny knowing Jesus. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. whose feet earlier had already spoken to individuals, and he received 30 pieces of silver to turn Jesus in. Before the night was done, he would finish that task and make sure that those individuals would know where Jesus would be. Jesus washed the feet of the other 10 disciples, who by the night's end would run away in fear, not knowing Jesus at all, denying him, hiding from those in authority. Jesus served those who did not deserve to be served. Now, verse 5 in our passage says that Jesus began to wash and to wipe the feet of the disciples. Both of those verbs, to wash and to wipe, are in a tense that speaks of a continual, ongoing activity. In other words, Jesus kept at the task until it was completed. He worked until every dirty foot was cleansed. Jesus did this because he had a specific purpose. While they were in the upper room that night, Jesus had some pretty weighty concerns on his mind. The matters of eternity, I'm sure, were on his mind. He knew that when that night would end, he would go to the garden, and he would labor in prayer before the Father. He knew that Judas was going to betray him to the Jews. He knew that the Romans would arrest him and put him on trial. He knew that within 24 hours, he would be condemned, rejected by his people, beaten, crucified, and buried. He knew that he would bear the sins of his people on Calvary and die in their place. His mind carried all of those burdens. But yet, he still served. He carried the burden of the lost on his heart. Now, what were his men worried about? Luke 22:24-30 tells us that they were arguing about who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest? Jesus would take this opportunity to teach them about what being a true servant was all about. Now, I don't want to shed light and say, whoa, 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 disciples, how dare you, because we're no different. We are just like the disciples. There are very few people who possess a servant's heart. Most of us are very willing to be served, but not too many of us are willing to serve others. Like Jesus, we should be willing to serve others regardless of the cost. We must be willing to humble ourselves and do whatever is necessary to serve others. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. The sixth one is, we must learn to serve without having to be asked. We must learn to serve without having to be asked. We must do this willingly. We must serve others willingly with no thought of return of a reward. And here's the real kicker. We must be willing to serve others who are selfish and maybe even refuse to serve themselves. And here, me and you, those of us that are upper in age, older people. Yes, children, I'm older than you. I'm ancient. I'm old. But my generation needs to show and teach the next generation how to serve. Teach them by encouraging them to be more involved in service. Teach them by example. That's something that was talked about at the meeting yesterday up at Storybrooke, talking about the next generation. Bringing up the next generation. Teaching the next generation. Leading the next generation and doing it by example. There is so much we can learn from the Lord's labor. He served others and set a standard for us that we should strive to reach in our own service. But this is only one step in our becoming a people of the towel. That's lesson one. Lesson two. We must learn from his lordship. Everything Jesus did that night reminds us of who he is and what he came in this world to do. This man was and is God in human flesh. This man was and is the Lord of glory. This man is the creator of all things. This is God in human flesh. This is the Savior, Redeemer, and Deliverer of lost sinners. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. That is who he is. Now, if the Lord Jesus, this is number one of lesson number two, if the Lord Jesus Christ would condescend to serve the disciples, we have no excuse for not serving others. Condescend. Make himself lower. Condescend. That's a big word. But if he would condescend to serve the disciples, we have no excuse for not serving others. If he would wash the feet of Peter and Judas, how much more should we seek ways to serve those around us? John 13:14 says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." That is an interesting term. That's a very interesting word that's used there. That word ought. That word ought. It's in a tense that suggests we should always be washing feet. In fact, here's the definition you could put down. The word has the idea and means the good due to another. That's what the word ought means. The good due to another. So number two, ought means the good due to another. In other words, what the Lord is saying is we should always be looking for ways to serve others for his glory. We should continually be searching for ways to demonstrate the love of God around us, to those around us. Some people are gifted in serving. Those people are very easy to identify. However, regardless of whether we have that specific gift or not, we all can and should be actively serving others for the glory of God. Now, number three, here in lesson number two. Number three is, we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving others. In Luke 6:40, Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." When we humble ourselves and assume the position of a slave before others, we demonstrate true Christ-likeness. When we do, he is glorified, and he will honor our service in his way for our glory. His glory. It's James 4:10, 1 Peter 5, 5-6. Fourth one in this point. Serving others is a recipe for happiness. Number four is recipe for happiness. When we can come to a place where we stop worrying about who is doing what, and we simply serve who we can, where we can, we live a more blessed Christian life. If we could come to the place where it doesn't matter who does the job, or who gets glory for the job, or even what task needs to be accomplished, we are developing into a people of the towel. Lesson three, the last one. We must learn from his love. That's lesson three. One final lesson presents itself in this passage. This thought tells us why Jesus did everything that he did. It tells us why he came into this world in the first place. It tells us why he became a man. It tells us why he laid aside the riches of heaven to embrace poverty here on earth. It tells us why he died for us on the cross. It tells us why he willingly assumed the place of a slave to serve his men. It's actually quite simple. In verse 1, it tells us that Jesus knew his time with his men was at an end. He knew he was leaving. It even said that we knew this was the end of his earthly ministry. And his heart is filled with love for his men. Before he leaves them, he's determined to teach them a much-needed lesson in humility. Before he leaves, he is going to demonstrate the depths of love for them. So he assumes the place of a slave and washes their feet. Number one, he served them because he loved them. He served them because he loved them. He washed their feet because he loved them. He humbled himself because he loved them. His love for us explains everything he did for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," this is number two, "though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." His love for us explains it all. From Bethlehem to Calvary, from the tomb back to glory. Point three, Jesus did it all because he loved us. I can't say that term enough. He loved us. Love compelled the Lord Jesus Christ to serve. Our love for others should compel us to serve others for Jesus' glory. When we love as we should, we will place the needs of others ahead of our own needs. 1 Corinthians 10:24 reminds us of our obligation to others. It says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." I think of the term joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Jesus, others, yourself. Putting others above my own needs. Is that something I'm actively doing? I'm speaking to myself, not to you. I mean, I can't, but I can put myself in this place. Am I actively putting the needs of others ahead of my own? True love manifests in the heart of a man like Epaphroditus, who we started talking about. True love lays everything on the line for the glory of God, for the good of others. The bottom line is this, the fourth point of lesson three. Genuine love serves others. I suppose we could take a little tally. We could take a vote. I could ask you if you're a person of the towel. No, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Are you a person of the towel? Am I a person of the towel? True service is genuine humility, humbling oneself. Humility is not merely thinking little of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. Let me say that again. Humility is not merely thinking little of yourself. It is not thinking of yourself at all. A true servant doesn't think about how he or she feels. A true servant looks at the needs around him and just does what needs to be done without being asked, without expectation of reward, without expectation of thanks, with nothing more at heart than a desire to love and act like Jesus. That is what defines being a person of the tower. And that is what the Lord Jesus showed us here in John chapter 13. How to humble, how to serve, how to love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for this lesson on serving, on humility, on becoming a person of the tower. We just thank you that we have your word, and we can read it, we can study it, and we can learn and understand how you served, how you humbled yourself, and how that is a pattern that we could all follow. We just thank you for this time together and pray that we can go forth from here and all have that servant's heart and be willing to serve for your glory and for your kingdom. We just thank you and pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you.